Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
My. Between the sturgeon moon, oh my goodness. The Perseid meteor showers? I mean, why are we even awake? We should be up in the middle of the night. Well, we are.
I was, yeah.
Yes, me too. Welcome in. I have to say, I had no idea that the rest of the world was, but apparently that moon kept a lot of people up last night.
You could have thrown a football around outside last night.
It was beautiful.
Walking around going, I need to look at my phone.
Yeah.
I do that occasionally. I'll wake up and, you know, you go outside and it's not overcast like it was for a month. And all of a sudden the sun's shining and you're like, oh my God, I better hurry. Oh.
Exactly.
And then you look
it's 2:30.
Yeah. That's the way that kind of was last night.
Well, and, you know, I always know if it's too bright in my bedroom to sleep, it's always a good idea to go check it out. And it was so pretty.
Well, I took a little nap, you know, it being a Friday, not necessarily, you know, laborious work here. I wasn't digging ditches or anything, but mentally, I was a little tired at the end of the week. And I said, hey, I'm going to go take a little nap. And I woke up and I thought it was sunshine outside still. And I'm like, man, I must not have really gotten much rest. And it was 11:30. And I said, okay.
Well, the good news is that despite the fact that we don't necessarily care for the name Sturgeon Moon, it is a great lineage. You know, it has all that to
where
do.
Where does the sturgeon come from on that?
Well, you know, sturgeon is that the whole business about coelacanth fish is that they're rare and hard to find, and apparently that's how you saw them. That's when they decided to surface enough for people to find them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
gets it from the fish.
That's exactly. There are people who else is out there in the middle of the night. It could have been the flounder moon, you know, for me.
Delicious moon.
Well, okay. Mm. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show, where we talk about this, that, and the other thing. Paula from Dentville says good morning to us. We tell
good
her
morning.
Right back, good morning. In reading back over a few really hunger-inducing texts that are on the line from yesterday, I love the idea of, and last week too, we seem to be very food-centric, and I don't have any problems with that at all.
Well, I wanted to share with you a new creation.
Oh, good.
Some friends that Nona's made and texted me the other day to say, hey, we got something we want you to try. And if you like it, I was kind of like Mikey, you know, I said, yeah.
If you like it, everybody
would. Yeah. If you like this, man, we're going to put it on the menu. I said, cool. So I rolled over there. I think it was Thursday. And what they had for me in store was, you know, I like that fried bologna sandwich, but they took it to an nth degree for me and took that thick cut bologna and butterflied it and fried it real good. And Thursday's pork chop day, so they had fried pork chops, and then they deep fried some bacon. So it was the three little pigs is what it's called. So it was bologna, fried pork chop, fried bacon, little mayonnaise and pepper, and then
Let's just add some mayonnaise because we don't have enough fat here. Let's go.
Such a great pork eater you are.
They're brilliant. Yeah. They are brilliant, and they know how to cook pork. And I'm tempted. I've got to tell you.
That was good, though. I mean, that was the sandwich for the decade there.
Well, I have to say you probably enjoyed it, you know, and if you could have some friends over, I bet they'll put something else on it the next time. Maybe onion rings.
Let's just do the meats to start it. Yeah.
That's wonderful. What a treat. Thanks to Nona
little
for
food,
giving you
little
something
foodie
fun to do.
World,
yeah, that's fun. That's a treat. You know, I you'll see a picture today, folks, if you're at supertalk.tv or if you are a subscriber to the newsletter. I should do recipes more often because they get, or food displays, because they get so many more comments than most of the other things that I write about. And there they are on your screen right now. This was Two Dog Farm's magnificent tomatillas that I purchased when I was there in Jackson at the market last week with them. But, of course, you can go see them in Flora. They'd be happy for you to do that. Come to their farm store. The tomatillas are not an easy thing to find that are really fresh. And so that's why I wanted to put a fresh spin on it. So I used Hatch peppers, the ones from New Mexico. Usually you use serranos, but this was a different, took another tack, and a jalapeno, of course, to make it a little bit hot. Fresh cilantro and onion and some roasted garlic. But I do got to tell you, if you're going to make salsa verde, roast the vegetables first. The flavor is so much better, and it's all easier to work with, too.
I would have just eaten all that as it is. I mean, that's my style of display.
And with your sandwich on the side, man. I would not doubt that it would be perfect.
With pretty whites and greens.
It's been a lovely thing to make. I haven't made that in a long time that I really liked. I've made some that I didn't care for, but this turned out to be a good choice. And I know now that it's the freshness of the tomatillas that makes a difference for me.
Now, let's take this. So we have the tomatillas, we have the onions, and we have the peppers. Are you going to roast all of them, including the onions as well?
Yep.
Okay, excellent.
Yep. And I realize some people might not want that much roasted flavor, but I like it. I think it gives it a depth that not everything else does. And that's why this is coming up National Science Week. So we get to explore our science. We have to have roasted versus not roasted. Yes, that's all science. There's somebody out there figuring those things out. How long, what temperature, the specifics of it.
Maybe Elon Musk.
No matter what
that,
you do, you know.
Elon may be doing that.
Does he have a cookbook?
I'm sure he's coming out with one.
I mean, come on.
If you've paid attention to like X and Grok lately, man,
I don't.
There is so much stuff. You know, they've come out with so many more of the, or I guess upgrades to the video imagery creator. So it's something else. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. Everything's Viking women and stuff.
I'm sure that you'll send me what I need to see because I don't do that.
I made an effort at it with my funny commercial, you know,
people are going to see that, folks. This is a good thing he's doing. It's going to be fun.
But the commercial, I couldn't get it to turn the cat around and put the, you know, it only would do it from the front. I'm like, no. So I had to freehand Grok won't perform what I needed to do.
You have no idea what he's talking about, and it's probably just as well.
Just think of fun. That's all. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun, and your voices are excellent. So hang on for all that. Man, we're gonna make him do that more publicly pretty soon.
Yeah. I like character. You know, I like getting into character.
I think that's fun. And wigs are available.
Oh, yeah,
we have been talking around this part of the world. I am in the Southern studio today, and the studio is shaping up.
Oh,
we've been working on this. We've
banging
been
it out
ourselves
down there.
Together.
It's crisp.
And I love it. The sound is good, the light's good, and I'm very, very happy to be here. I have to tell you though, somebody asked me this week about something that's not around anymore. And that's a catfish fertilizer that I used to represent 8 years ago that we don't get anymore. But I was thinking about fish fertilizers, and I was thinking about organic fertilizers, and I really do think that that's the ticket. When we talk about summer feeding, I want you to be aware that we've got to make a plan about this. If you just go out there with a bag of 888 or, you know, 1313 or 824-24 or whatever it is, that stuff is rough. And you start flinging it out there in the summer garden, you're likely to burn things. You're likely to over-fertilize them. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying that the chances are greater, for example, when that pelleted fertilizer like that one, those are, lands on the leaves of a newly sprouted plant, beans, squash, next few weeks from now, some broccoli and that sort of thing. We're really looking at holes in the leaves, and that burning is something you don't need to do. Plus, if you fling that stuff out there and then it rains really hard, the chances of your plants actually getting what they need from it is kind of slim. So I'm always in favor of using things from natural sources because I find that they work better. But sometimes that change is really more for practical reasons than for philosophic ones. It may be because you don't want to burn the leaves in the middle of the summer. It may be because, like a lot of organic farmers, you have found that you're able to grow more produce with less fertilizer in each succeeding year because you're actually building the soil as you are building the garden. I think those things are very important to a lot of us. The higher dollar value of those plants, and in fact what you would have to pay if you went to buy organic fertilizer, I mean organic plants or plants grown with only naturally sourced fertilizers, is oftentimes a good bit higher. So you're also saving your own money there. And yeah, the price of commercial fertilizers is going up. Those elements are costing more money than they have, and the processes of manufacturing them, not to mention anything that has to be imported from some other country, all of those things are getting more expensive. And so we're seeing a whole lot of people making that move in their backyards as well as on their farms. I want to make sure that if you're looking for those products, so if you're looking for cow manures and I don't know, bat guano and all the kinds of organic fertilizers that you might be looking for, you don't overlook the people around you. So in other words, start with the products at your local garden center. Ask about those. Make sure that you check the market bulletin, because a lot of times people will be able to do that for you. And if you have something like somewhere around you, something like Wormworks at the farmer's market, go and talk to those folks, because they all know what you're looking for and they can help you find it. I think that when we think about these things, these days the cooked fish emulsion is really still a absolutely great fertilizer. Be aware that you don't want to use it inside your house. It is fishy, but it's a wonderful fertilizer outside. Other than that, I have so many joyful reports from people about using bat guanos and chicken manures and things like that. Vermicompost may be my favorite, that is to say that made from worms, but that could be because it's such a great fertilizer and my own world, that's a worm farming is a thing in my own world, which if you want to take it up and do it, you really should. You know, sometimes we have a lot of choices in this world, but I'm really tickled at what Amanda has decided to do. You know, she's from Pike County, but she's listening to us watching the waves crash on the shore, and the pelicans and the seagulls are just flying by, and I'm leaving now. I'm going to go with Amanda to the beach. That's just beautiful. Thank you for sending us those shots, and thank you for listening. I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah, I think I may be up in the night tonight. I'm hoping for clear skies to see the Perseid meteor showers, because this is the peak night of all of that. There are so many opportunities for us to look at the sky, but not quite as many or as dramatic as this night. So y'all get in there and do that if you can, if you possibly can. Let's see. Who is this from? I am not sure. Hey, Kathy. Thank you for sending this. Her pole beans are on the trellis. They grew and flowered, but the flowers never produced beans. Could they still produce beans this late in the season? It's actually time to start again, so I'm going to tell you that it's quite possible. As long as the beans themselves are in good condition, you may well get some more. If you fertilize them, don't do that again. If you didn't fertilize them a little bit. That sounds contrary, doesn't it? Well, sometimes we plant beans, and particularly if we plant them a little bit later in the season than they would like, and then we put some fertilizer on them, we end up with a lot of leaves, but there's no opportunity for them to flower. And then sometimes it gets really hot, so those beans, they may make a flower, but it can't quite make a bean. So we have both of those situations going on at this time of year. Therefore, I would suggest that Kathy, just, I don't want you to fertilize them unless you haven't done that at all. In that case, I might fertilize a little bit and see if we can't get some beans to come on there. They certainly look like they don't need to be taken down. If you do take them down, make sure you turn them into the soil or into your compost, because those are very valuable nitrogen-laden vines that will help you with whatever else you're growing. Your garden looks beautiful, by the way.
I was going to say, those look very healthy. I mean, I don't know why there was no beans on them. But
she may have planted a little bit late, and so they didn't quite make it, and then it got too hot.
Right.
And now we're going to come to the other side of it. But the real trick, it's not a trick, it's a horticultural practice, but the real trick in gardening in the South in the summer is to keep those things alive through July and August.
Right, okay.
You know, because conditions get much, much better as we move forward. That's why we plant things like broccoli and beets and whatnot in August.
And that was my question. I had a friend of mine here in the building named Prince. He said his wife was putting him to work this weekend. His wife is from South Mississippi. Her parents, you know, have a huge garden. They eat as much as they can out of it. I think they really rarely go to the grocery store other than to get meats and things. So she's been on him to get, get eaten healthier. So they're building a raised garden, and they were going to start planting the things that would be ready for, obviously, the cooler weather. And I wanted to go back over that again for a second, just to make sure when I see him Monday, I say, hey, you did put these in the ground.
You sound smart.
Right? Yeah. So which ones, what are we looking at putting in the ground now?
Well,
food-wise stuff.
Your local garden centers will have, and particularly local, I'm not saying that the big box won't, but the local garden centers always have transplants at this point in the year. And generally speaking, most people are still transplanting, maybe even still transplanting tomatoes, but certainly beginning to transplant broccoli and cabbages and that whole family of plants. If you are growing your own seedlings, that's one thing, but that takes a little bit longer. Most people in the fall tend to go to look for the plants if they can possibly find them. So those, that for that group. Then we look into the things that we're planting from seed in this particular time frame, and that's things like beets and Swiss chard. You know, we're moving in towards that. I'm going to wait a couple of more weeks before I start planting mustards and things because I like them. I think the heat is a little hard on them to sprout. But as I told y'all earlier last week, I think, I planted those beans to see whether they would come up in 80-degree nights, and they sure have. They're beautiful. There's a picture of them floating around in supertalk.tv today, too. So I'm saying go ahead and give it a try. The good news is that anything like radishes, beets, Swiss chard, and then mustards and so forth, we can plant every other week for several weeks till one of the ones is successful. So go ahead and get with it and plant all those things. We have a chance to grow the spring crops again in the fall, which most places don't get to do. So it's kind of neat. I appreciate the variety tender green right now, too. I'm telling you, those plants are beautiful, and I'm looking forward to the beans. I did want to show you what the beans themselves look like. Tender green is not a pencil pod. Pencil pod beans, there's several other varieties, but they seem to do better in the springtime. So I'm going to wait until the weather cools off just a little bit before I plant yellow wax and some of those pencil-shaped beans. The ones that are a little bit rougher, a little tougher, like tender green, really do have a better opportunity in the summer. Lisa, I don't know what time. I'll have to see if I can figure that out. But she's looking for the shooting stars tonight. I don't know what time is supposed to be peak time, but we'll try and help hear about that for you. Interesting question. Might I tell you what? That Gulf of Mexico is some beautiful place. No question about it.
You need to get your toes wet and get out there.
I do. I'm so happy. Oh, there's the snake plant. Oh, that's wonderful. My goodness, you got some great, Ken, you got some wonderful plants. How neat. Well, you know what? I got a lot to tell you about today. It's hand-holding day. So grab hold of somebody that you love or even that you like a little bit and tell them you think they're great. Meanwhile, we'll be right back.
To another farm, to a town so long ago, where the sweet magnolia blossom, cotton fields were white as snow, Catfish John was a river hobo, lived and died by the river's bend.
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000, home remodeling or improvements, including roofing over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
The Mississippi Propane Gas Association was founded in 1941 to represent and promote the views and goodwill of the propane industry. Visit propane.com to learn more about our dealers, suppliers, safety, and application of propane. Propane, energy for everyone. Visit propane.com. That's propane.com.
You've got to draw.
Steer it up.
going to stir it up today, I'll tell you what. What a great question coming in this morning on the text line from Cole in Hattiesburg. Why is my satsuma not putting on fruit? I planted it a year ago from the pot, and it had fruit on it then. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, a lot of times that transplanting process to the ground for any kind of fruit tree, in fact, for a lot of trees, slows them down in terms of that other piece of it, the flowers or the fruit or the production, because it's busy establishing itself so that it doesn't blow over in the first storm, you know, putting down some deep roots, and also making sure that its structure or its scaffold is sturdy, which you're going to need for that to be able to be there for a long time. The good news is that Satsuma doesn't usually take but 1 year. You should be able to find some flowers and fruit at least next year. And sometimes they'll try to do things out of season. I have grown satsumas in the ground in places, and I have grown satsumas in containers, and I have found that both of them can be a little bit hard to predict, even though we understand there's a production time for them. Every now and then, just like every now and then, a Meyer lemon doesn't freeze when you expect that it would. You know, citrus can be kind of chancy, so I really suggest that you just continue to take care of it and make sure that if you fertilize it this summer or even at the beginning of the year next winter, after winter, that you make sure that you're using a citrus fertilizer for it, because that's what it needs to help build those roots. But what a great choice. I also referred him to a new production called Louisiana Home Citrus Production, and it's from the LSU Ag Center. It just was published, I think, last month or maybe in June. But it's a good one. It's got the most recent varieties. And for those of you who are consistent in wanting to grow citrus out of season, out of place, so to speak, there's a great chart for what can handle where and what you have to do elsewhere. It's not that you can't grow citrus in all of the South, but you have to know that it will freeze if you're in certain parts and it will not freeze if you're in others. So the parts in the middle are kind of iffy. So we have to make sure that we know what we're doing. What you should know is that when you look at citrus for the chillier versions, my hometown of Monroe, Louisiana, is on the exact same latitude as my other hometown of Jackson, Mississippi. And so anywhere farther north than that, you are truly going to need either a greenhouse or an entirely protected structure for citrus to grow. So that's my citrus wrap for today. I really do appreciate anybody that wants to grow it, because it's a fun plant to grow. It has such beautiful flowers and fruit on it. And sometimes, frankly, it's hard to find the unusual varieties that you might want to pick up and take care of. So I like that. Well, Lance, I got to tell you something. Today is Singapore National Day. And It is. Now, what do you know about Singapore? I can tell you that it is called the Garden City because it's so beautiful. Half of it's covered in trees.
Right. I know it's mountainous, right? And it also has a drink named after it, the Singapore Sling.
It does, and that's complicated. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the recipe for that. That's really complicated.
I remember somebody throwing that one at me once, and I was like, yeah, got to give me a minute. I got to go talk to the chef for a second, and then you go back there with your phone and look it up.
Let me see about this. But the other thing about it is that it comes from the Sanskrit word for Lion City, and there are no lions there. So I find that very ironic.
Wishful thinking, maybe.
I don't know. Great goals, I suppose. Just fun stuff. I don't know exactly why we celebrate. I like celebrating anywhere that's covered half with trees.
Of course,
you know, that's kind
tropical
of fun.
And beautiful.
But just a lovely place.
Imagine the food is great.
Let's go.
We'll
have to go find out.
Fauna and food, you know, and then you have the other one, the fun. So
I can only imagine.
Ready to go now.
It looks beautiful. But that's one of those pieces. The Singapore Sling that we're talking about, y'all, is a gin drink, and that's about the only thing that's common in it. It's very complex.
Well, and I mean, Singapore is a big country, too. I mean,
so you would expect it to be complex.
Well, it stretches a bit. Not to most people. Mm-hmm. You know, only about 6 million
folks. Yeah, it's a country and a town.
Yeah. And it covers some land now.
That's right. So we will not be dipping into Singapore Slings this morning, but I have to tell you, without the alcohol, it would be pretty good.
Yeah, it's the thing about Singapore is it's just got such a unique juxtaposition in the world.
It does.
Yeah, it's jammed in there, and you got all the Southeast Asian culture, and then you got Australia down there. Everything's moving around.
You know. And everybody wants it.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, you're right there, Philippines and Indonesia, and it's just so much that I don't know about that area, but I can only imagine the plant culture.
Oh, my.
What you can grow there. I mean, it looks amazing. I'm a map freak. I go dig down.
It looks like it would be a beautiful place to visit. Yeah. That's for sure. Don't think I want to move, but
don't want to go to Thailand, Vietnam, or Cambodia, that little Three Corners area, which is just north of there. We can stay away from there, though, and go down to Singapore. Isn't that where that plane originated?
I would actually like to go.
They got those issues over there right now. I think
they have a few issues.
They got a few issues, but they'll get done. We'll work it out. But
well, speaking of issues, you know, we just had an earthquake in that part of the world large enough to trigger tsunami warnings all across the Pacific, and that is unusual. It doesn't happen every minute. It's less predictable than hurricanes. There are always people working though on how to predict the next big earthquake. I think we've got a new approach to all of that, and I have to say this is just. You can't imagine that it wouldn't be this way, and yet we're just now understanding that there are things that live in the earthquake fractures that can't live anywhere else. So each time there are earthquake fractures that reveal, you know, that many tectonic separations and whatnot, the various and sundry microbes that can live there multiply, and they don't multiply the rest of the time. So I think this is really wonderful. This is hydrogen and oxidants, that are generated by rock fracturing. So in other words, unless that's happening, they're not growing. Wonder what their job is. You know, are they there to hold it together, or are they there to take it apart? So that's part of what they're studying, is what is their role in things, because it could explain to us possibly how life as we know it could develop on other planets that don't have sunlight, because we've always assumed that that was one of the, like water, it's one of the criteria, but it's not. And it may be that we're learning enough about it. So I'm fascinated.
Some
by
of
this.
The freaky creatures that live at the bottom of the ocean. Oh man.
And we're
without
seeing more
sunlight,
and more of them.
You
do have. I will say, I had one professor that was an anthropologist who could not understand why we were going to the moon when we still hadn't gone to the bottom of the ocean yet.
Yeah, I watched
understand that point of view, because we learn so much, but everything from plants and animals, but also to things that take care of other things. You know, my theory has been proven over and over is that everything on this planet is here to intend a reaction in something else. And in fact, sometimes those are positive and sometimes they're not. But if we don't know what they all are, how are we going to figure it out? So exploring the depths of the ocean is, I think, brilliant.
Marianas Trench, the deepest place on the planet. And watched a really fascinating documentary the other day where they had, you know, geomapped everything and also had sent, you know, what they have now. The technology is much better. They can get down there. But it really did a great job of showing you the different layers of the ocean as it goes deeper and what can live in those layers. And as you got to the bottom of the trench, where people felt like the pressure and the temperatures, the lack of sunlight, all of these different things that would have been prohibitive to life, all of a sudden there's this thriving community of creatures and animals living there that you're going, what in the world are these things?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure that would be pressing on those animals, being able to – whereas one that was a fish that basically looks like a catfish – but as you bring it up and you try to test it or look at it or inspect it and do experiments on it in the lab, it deflates and it turns into mush because, you know, the pressure.
It changes structure.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or as we would say about gases, they change phase.
Yeah.
And they do talk about the cellular, the impact on the cellular world of that, those pressures changes everything.
And then the frozen methane chunks down there always the cracks. Where, you know, you always wonder, is there more water beneath us?
Well, we know there's more microbes.
Yeah. So wherever, obviously where water exists, there's a kind of a culture that promotes life. And, all the history and all the rumors and things you read over the years about the earth, as it shifts and opens up a little bit, more water can come up from underneath and fascinating world
and
that we live in.
What's in that water?
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This is a good topic for today. JB would like us, however, to turn to another topic. Moved into a new house and the crepe myrtle is losing its leaves. The bark has white in places. Okay. Now, some crepe myrtles are intended to have white patches. When their bark peels off, it looks very white in parts. So that's one thing. If this is stuff that is on the bark, not of the bark, and I say that very deliberately, in other words, you can go and take hold of it and peel it off, then you have got a different problem. And the chances are unfortunate that it may be crepe myrtle bark scale because it does at a certain point have a white proliferation. I would suggest that you take some pictures of that particular piece of the trunk and send them to me, or just take them down, go down to your, visit your local garden center and ask for someone's help there. The horticulturist there can help you identify that sort of thing if it's this problem. If it's something different, then we may have to go a little bit deeper. But I believe that you're looking, when they defoliate early, usually crepe myrtles are having a problem taking up enough that they go into premature defoliation in the same way that a Japanese maple or a dogwood would if it has some sort of issue. In some cases, it's an insect problem. In some cases, it's a fungus problem. In some cases, can be a little bit of both. So if you can send me a photo, I'll look at it today, or you can send it to mamaonair@yahoo.com. Okay? We'll see if we can't figure this one out for you.
Well, and I have a question that may go along with that, with the hibiscus.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that I got from Doris. They both look great. They were both flowering, did their thing. And all of a sudden, in the last 3 or 4 days, one of them has turned terrible. And I've tried to shift it around and move the dirt around, make sure it wasn't compacted, make sure it wasn't getting any root rot or sitting there and wet, which it wasn't. So I've tried to do the same thing with both. Now, one of them seems to be thriving. The other one is just basically looks terrible now.
Are they in containers or in the
They're
ground?
In containers. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're exact same container, exact same dirt, exact same everything that I tried to make sure I replicated.
Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Yeah, so I'm... And that was kind of my thought. I was like, what happened here?
What is wrong here?
They're 5 feet apart. There's plenty of room. There's nothing.
I'm going to tell you a story. Now, there's probably something. We will determine what the pest is, and we will take care of the pest on the one hibiscus that has it, and then we will treat the other one so it doesn't get it. Okay. But let me tell you a story. When I first moved into Jackson, I was working down near the Iron Horse Grill in an office down there. And every day I drove past a law office that had two cedar trees in or some kind of juniper thing up on the roof and two planters. It looked like a lovely place to sit, you know, with, you would go at the end of the day and watch the sunset and that kind of stuff. Over the years, 3 or 4 years, one died and they replaced it, and then the other died and they replaced it, and then they both died and they ended up putting a cover over the patio there, the balcony, and turning it into a patio. So my point is, when we plant two things that are exactly alike, the odds are that one of them is not going to go right. It's like when you, as someone famous once said, if you plant 10 pink crepe myrtles in a row, one of them's going to turn out to be white. Because that's just the odds of it. The absolutely infallible way of things just doing what they do. So I'm going to tell you to do, Lance, is to take some pictures of the damage and send it to me so that I can tell you what I think it is, and we'll figure it out.
Sure. Think of it as, like, it looks like it has been torched with heat.
Yeah.
The leaves.
But it hasn't.
But it hasn't, right. Exactly the same. But sure, I will do that when I get home today.
It's going to be a leaf. It's probably going to be a mite, and hibiscus are notorious for that.
Okay.
So.
Is there any way to save that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, we're going to trim it off and treat it up, and it'll be fine.
All right.
But not that particular leaf that's ruined, but we can make new leaves.
All right, excellent.
So it'll be good. Paula from Dentville has sent us what I presume is one of Larry the Lizard's cousins peeking out from an Eleagnus plant. It's really a cute photo. This is when you think, you know, we should be making note cards. We got so many beautiful images. Today we've got the Gulf of Mexico. We've got this magnificent little critter. There's just, we just, and if anybody ever wrote note cards, we'd probably do that. But do we even do postcards? I don't know.
I loved postcards.
I used to.
Everywhere I would go, I'd get postcards. I don't do that anymore, but I always loved them. There was some great artwork in there.
Oh, some beautiful, beautiful pictures. These are lovely.
And doesn't Paula have access to the coolest animals? I mean, turtles and geckos and lizards and everything.
Exactly.
She has everything.
I don't know who sent us this lovely set of images because I'm not seeing anything else in there, but they're just beautiful. Lovely bench. Really pretty.
Yeah, it looks like a great place to sit there and gossip a little bit, drink coffee.
Yeah, go have a picnic.
Have a croissant. Yes, no, we need a croissant.
Always, always. Oh, my goodness, y'all. You know what? Gardening is one of those pieces of the puzzle. The more that complicated that life gets, the more we really do need to be gardening. And I think there's a lot to be said for starting where you are. If you want to just take the top off a carrot and put it in some water and root that. That's great. Maybe you want to go out and buy a pack of seeds, or maybe you're setting up a new raised bed. Whatever you're doing, we'll talk about it right here on the Garden Mama Show.
Let's find another place that's green.
We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi. We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Yes, indeed. I have finally relented, and I am going to start putting out the playlists. That's right. I've had so many requests, and more all the time. So that's what we're going to work on. We're getting our playlists worked out together, and it just tickles me to be able to say that yes, you should listen to John Fred and the Playboys.
Of course, you should.
Singing that silly song. Well, great guy, Chris. Silly, just a silly song. What fun. Dave from Ripley has the best question. I'm telling you, this is so classic. Here's this beautiful plant. He bought a pack of seeds, and they were labeled purple coneflowers. But they are so spectacular. He said, when is this going to bloom? So he took a picture of it and sent it to the app. You know, there's some plant apps out there. Yes, I worked on one, but none of them work very well. I'm sorry. Not that I'm trying to keep my job as your plant identifier, but I still haven't found one, including the one that I worked on, that actually can do what I want it to do. So it said it's spinach. This is not spinach. The key is that on a couple of the leaves, that this is it. I do believe this is Echinacea angustifolia. There's a narrow leaf one. It's not that one. This is the big fat-leafed purple coneflower. The key is that right at the fattest part of the heart shape, on the edge of the leaf, there's a little bit of a dimple that goes out. And if you look up just leaf shape for Echinacea purpurea or purple coneflower, you're going to see that the leaves have just this little bit of an exit on them, a little X for them. And I believe that's what it is. Now, why are they not blooming? Because it takes 2 years from seed to bloom most perennials, but particularly coneflowers. You might be able to get rudbeckias and, I don't know, obedient plant. You know, there's some others that you would be able to get to bloom faster, but I believe it takes 2 years. So I'm going to say that all that this needs is to be enjoyed. If that's all in one container, you can certainly split it. And this fall, you know, make two or three or four or however many plants there are actually in there. And that will also help it to go ahead and get ready to bloom because it won't be too crowded. But you did a beautiful job, Dave. These are looking great. Enjoy. Paula, you got a question. You never make questions. Paula, you always just send us beautiful stuff. Now, let's see. I've got to get on my game here, make sure I can do this. The hydrangea had black spot fungus. Welcome. The whole world did. What is the best spray to use? Okay, here's the thing. Black spot fungus on hydrangeas on the big fat hydrangea leaf is, generally speaking, cercospora leaf spot, which is something that happens earlier in the year, but we don't see it until the summer when the spots appear. Therefore, it's important when you do prune an azalea, prune a hydrangea after it flowers in the summertime, or if you have to cut down dead canes that don't leaf out the next spring, that you get all that stuff out of the garden. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that you, when you've had a year that the spot has been serious, you will lose a lot of leaves. You got to get those out of the garden too. So you don't continue to make a place for that fungus to grow. So then what do you do next year? Well, next year you take a look as the new leaves come out and spray those baby leaves with a fungicide. Spray them several times during the spring, particularly if the weather is very wet, and the chances of you having that problem next summer will be seriously mitigated. The same thing is true when we talk about, for example, there's dogwood trees that are dropping every leaf already. They shouldn't, but they are. There's Japanese maples that are dropping every leaf already. They shouldn't. When you look at those leaves, sometimes they look a little bit stippled. We won't necessarily see that same kind of spotting because the issue is a different one, but it's another that happens in the springtime and shows up in the summer. And it does weaken the leaves, but it also weakens the plant if you don't deal with it at all. If you can do a lot by pruning, but it's also a really good idea to come in with that preventative fungicide spray next spring. These are so beautiful. Bill and Linda, they finally told me where this gorgeous place is. This is at their farm in Arkansas. We so appreciate you. You said too many sweet things. I'll blush if I read all of it. I appreciate you so much. I love you just as much. And gardening keeps us grounded. No pun intended. Well, I'll intend the pun, but I'm going to use that. I like it. Looking at supertalk.tv right now, you are taking a peek at what I think is one of the prettiest tomatilla plants that I have seen lately. But yes, they're a little bit, the husks will be a little bit pointy, but the fruit inside will be very, very sweet and very round. They look kind of like tomatoes, but they're not. So what a beautiful, beautiful bunch of butterfly photos today too. You know, y'all are good. We got so much nice stuff happening. You know, we're always looking for something that's going to be better. And as human beings, I believe that's part of our quest, is to be smarter, faster, brighter, you know, grow things that are healthier and happier and make us happy. I am tickled. Wheat is one of my favorite things. And all y'all who, I know there's a lot of people that we all have to manage our gluten intake, but there are a lot of people that really are gluten intolerant. Y'all, I can't help y'all. But those other folks who just have some greater need for it, you know, you want to eat the bread, but you'd really like to have it be a little bit more nutritious because some breads are and some breads aren't. Here's a great one. This is coming to us from the folks at Wiley. Grains that are rich in zinc and phosphorus without increasing things that would make you be less able to absorb those nutrients. How do they do that? They have managed to put basic bread wheat with a soil fungus, in other words, growing it in a better environment that can significantly enhance its nutritional value, particularly in the areas of zinc and phosphorus. The wheat becomes a healthier option, and therefore, if you're going to spend the calories on eating it, you get more back from it. So that's really clever. I also anticipate that the wheat will be really expensive once they do this, because that can't be simple to change the soil itself or to inject this particular soil fungus that they have developed. But if you're getting more out of it, sometimes it's worth another dollar. You know, we'll just have to see how that goes. But I'm going to keep an eye on this one for sure. Paula's got it on her calendar now. She's going to do that little bit of spraying a fungicide next spring. So many pretty pictures today. I'm just taking a look at the supertalk.tv feed. Y'all are really sending some gorgeous things to us today. I appreciate that very, very much. I did not know, but I'm learning. I did not know how controversial one... Oh, see, there's the sturgeon moon right there. Okay, I'm not going to quit. I'll quit looking at that. There's so many issues to this one, and I know Lance is going to weigh in on this, and I hope you all will too. You heard about this week, I imagine. The Denmark Zoo says, if you have spare guinea pigs, we would like you to bring them to the zoo. not that we need more guinea pigs to show off, but that we would like for our predator animals to have a more natural experience.
Ooh.
I don't know if this means they're tired of raising them themselves, because, you know, you do have to find foods that, but they're trying to set up some elaborate habitats that will allow for the predators in the zoo to have a more natural circle of life, if you will. There are people who are absolutely horrified by this, and there are other people who intend to start raising snakes and frogs, you know, to send them as gifts to Denmark, because they feel like this is, in fact, a better way. Now, it doesn't answer the question of why do you have predators in a zoo if they don't have something to eat? Why aren't they just out in nature? And the answer is always because if we don't see them, we don't appreciate them, and then we tend to destroy their habitats and whatnot.
So apparently, well, like farmersdog.com doesn't have like a setup.
They don't
the
have
zoo,
enough. Right? They don't have enough. Or maybe the zoo's just broke. I don't know. But anyway, point is, I would love for y'all to weigh in on that in our next hour, because I'm curious to see what you think. Meanwhile, we've got a wonderful guest coming up. If y'all don't know Mike Keith, you should, but we're going to talk to him at 9:30. He's an old friend of mine with a whole brand new thing going on. So stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Propane uses for residential include cooking, heating, gas logs, outdoor products, water heaters, landscaping, and manufactured housing. Propane is a trusted, reliable source of energy that is used year-round by more than 60 million Americans. Visit propane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's propane.com.
Hey, this is Bob.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. It is my great pleasure to be here and a privilege to have a microphone that you can listen to. I appreciate that so much every day. Lance, I got to tell you something. I heard I was driving down the road, you know, the other day, and I don't even know what I was listening to, but it wasn't my playlist. It just came up, and it was Classical Gas, the theme of this program.
Yes.
And I remembered why I wanted it to be the theme. It's such a great tune.
Isn't it?
I had the opportunity to listen.
I have 3 cuts of it, so one of my favorite songs. I actually love the Watching Mason actually perform it live. You know,
yes.
Listening to it's one thing,
yes,
but when you actually watch him doing
astounding.
It,
he's astounding. Of course, we didn't get to see that in the real time, but yeah, now you get to go back and see it on YouTube and stuff.
Well, it's got like the old ones, like Greyhound bus behind him.
Yeah,
and he's on the stage.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, I think. But no, I have 3 cuts of it. I throw it in regularly, probably
great
about once every 2 or 3 weeks. I'll slide it in. You know,
just a great tune.
Always paying
and
attention.
There are a lot of instrumental tunes from that era that we don't hear enough of, and we do try to bring some of them to you here, but that's another one of those pieces that I want to make a list of, just because I don't want you to think that I don't know who these people are. I do know who some of them are.
You know who all of them are. You turned me on to some. So
well, good.
Over the we and buddies
like,
that
we
way.
Would like to keep. Oh, buddy, my goodness.
We have something.
Music encyclopedia, yeah, walking around. You know, that's
when he emailed me the playlist for this week. I looked at it and I emailed back. I said, "Who in the heck are these guys?"
Never heard of these people.
I'm going to leave some suspense for y'all that will around with us and listen because I was like, what are you talking? Who are these dudes?
We always have a little more than just conversation on our shows. Yeah. And Buddy taught me so much over the years, but I've also had a chance to learn from everybody that I've been around that, as our guru says, you know, tell the truth, make it interesting, and never be boring. So that's what we're working on here every Saturday on the Garden Mama Show.
Well, I have frozen one of your containers. And
yes.
So what are we looking at there?
Oh, beans.
Yeah, because we had the picture a week ago that was kind of starting.
They were just barely starting.
And now
that's right.
Six, eight inches up.
This is the tender green beans. And you're looking at a window box. Yes, they are crowded, and that's how I like them. They will begin to push out little beans in maybe another couple of weeks because they are crowded and it's a containerized system. But these are from this very morning. I'm happy to tell you that, my flash photographer went out and took these so that you could see how much they have grown just since the other day. And yes, the very dark image in the background of the pictures is my tuxedo cat. Yeah.
Little kitty whiskers.
Yesterday was International Cat Day. Well, how many
Siamese cats?
How many cat pictures could there possibly be? All of them is how many there could be. So I'm happy that she got at least a little bit of her edge there. Oh my goodness, that's beautiful. Paula has a gorgeous. I love how people name their plants. Francine, the Monstera, this is actually a split leaf philodendron right in the middle of splitting its leaves. And I just think that's they are a Monstera, but magnificent plant. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for showing us today.
We have our first call of the day. Miss Mabel from Jackson wants to talk to the Garden Mama. Mabel, you are on.
Hey, Mabel.
Oh,
welcome
okay.
in. Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. What's up?
We've got flowers on the porch. Mm-hmm. And we can't get out there and water for the mosquitoes.
Ooh.
And I don't know something that we can spray.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sit out there because of mosquitoes.
No, I understand.
Do you know anything that we can spray around the house? We don't have no water standing.
The mosquito problem has been intense in this particular year, and I know that, even without water standing anywhere, there's still way too many of them. I'm going to suggest a couple of things. First of all, be aware that at daylight and right at dusk are the worst times for the mosquitoes that bring the West Nile virus. So if you go out at those times, you have to put on your repellent, and you have to almost carry a fan with you sometimes to keep them away from you. But the other thing to do is, there are products that will stifle them. One of them is called Mosquito Beater, B-E-A-T-E-R. And you literally, there are several products that are like that, but that's what their category of products is known as. Then you sprinkle them in the area. Wait 30 minutes, and then you can go and use that space for a period of time, usually until it rains the next time. But they are effective. There's not really anything to spray and just walk off from, but there are things that that you can spray, and it will. You'll see them sometimes in the. Well, the last time I bought a can, I think it was in the Piggly Wiggly, but it was basically just a yard spray can, and it was intended to kill mosquitoes, and it did. I was having an event, and I couldn't seem to get rid of them. People will light citronella candles. They'll do all those things, but it really does come down to the timing of when you're out there, and then the other piece of it is controlling them like half an hour before you need to use the space. Because they're terrible.
And will it hurt the plants to spray it on the plants?
No. But none of those products are going to hurt
I will say, Mabel, I've had some success with buying 400 citronella candles and basically having a seance around your house. It does help. But no, you can go. There are several that have the off-brand.
I like the coils. The ones that are the coils. I'll put those on the porch. And they do a pretty good job right in that space.
Yeah, it's not going to cover much area, so you got to have to hook them on you and walk around with them.
Yeah. And I wear the little bands, too, sometimes on my ankles. That seems to help.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one more thing, then.
Sure.
How do you do the carrot? You say you can...
Oh, people will take a carrot that has the greens on it, you know, still has its leafy part sticking out the top, and they'll cut just the fattest part of that top. This is one of the things sometimes you'll do in school just to show kids how things grow, and literally put it in a saucer of water, and it will form roots. Same way that you would do a pineapple top. You know, you cut the top off the pineapple and then and root it in shallow water. You do the same thing with carrots.
Okay. All right, then. I'm going to try that mosquito vision.
Please do.
And all you say.
Let me know how it works. Take care of yourself. Say hi to everybody for me.
Okay, you too.
Take care. Thank you, darling. Woo, Arkansas peaches coming in on the text line. All right, now I'm hungry. That's from that same farm in Magnolia. That's beautiful.
Arkansas peaches. Those are beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
I mean, Georgia was supposed to be for peaches.
They are.
Guess about the
what?
Same
it's not just
longitude.
Them, though. Yeah. It's not just them. There are beautiful peaches across the South. It's hard to grow peaches. Let's just face it. They're not the easiest to prune. They have to be pruned into an open vase shape. I can give you 70 different publications that will tell you exactly when the bugs are going to come to those peaches, and they will. I mean, you know, so you have to deal with that. But that when they're ripe, though, and when they ripen, as we only can do in the South, they are the best peaches in the world. That's for true. No question. We made many a pilgrimage in my childhood to go and get peaches. Sometimes I don't even know. I can't remember if it was cobblers or pies or crumbles or what, but it seems to me like they cooked everything in my family with peaches because they liked them so much. That's really pretty. Ooh, and the blackberries too. Now, I'm going to brag on Arkansas just for a moment. If you're growing thornless blackberries, the chances are really good you are growing some that were at least trialed, if not developed, at the University of Arkansas. They do such a beautiful job there. They grow. I mean, they've done that. They did it intensively for probably 20 years and probably still do some of that because how many new varieties are there? I don't know. But they made sure to make ones that we could grow in our gardens and that we could maintain simply by taking out the oldest canes at the end of each production year from mature plants. And they're delicious, they're beautiful, and they don't cut you apart because they're thornless. There are people who feel like that's somehow sacrilege. I do not. I like it, in fact. And they are delicious. Speaking of things that you may have thought that thorny blackberries were the only ones to get. You may have thought that you can't eat eggs because of the cholesterol, but it's turning in the other direction. This every now and then we have another set of studies that tell us something or tell us something else. And in this case, The University of South Australia is letting us know about the vindication of eggs. They do have the cholesterol content that we know about, but it turns out that it's usually the saturated fats we combine with them that's the problem. It's the bacon. It's the butter. You know, it's the other things. But in fact, as part of a low saturated fat diet, they have been shown to be good. They're trying to improve the outdated guidelines and whatnot. Now, I know we've had people that have for years been devoted to the eggs that are raised so that they don't have cholesterol. That's not what they're testing. They're testing regular old garden variety eggs in this case, and they're hoping to have new guidelines next year and also some better suggestions for how to cook them to be healthier. So that'll be interesting. I know. All y'all who want to fry that egg in bacon grease are not going to change, and you're not going to stop doing that. Okay, I get it, but it's not the best way. Just have one. Don't have three. Okay, just have one. I don't know. Is one egg enough, Lance? I'm not sure. I don't know about that. Oh, yeah, somebody just sent me a text, and yeah, the question is, what is that behind the beans? Well, besides the cat, it is, in fact, a cat house, a catio, as they call them. My old cats they love to go outside, but they're not really, they don't need to be as vulnerable as they would be. So they have a home of their own, so they don't have to be indoors all the time. let's see. Ah, now here's a good question. Oh, Rhett, I'm so sorry. 2 weeks ago, the gas company had to dig up the gas line in my yard, and it killed 4 or 5 Maypop fruits. That, of course, is passion flower, you know, that's the really wild, beautiful passion flower that's usually purple but not necessarily, and or it might be blue. And then they put together, when they put on their fruit, and the fruit are called May Pops, and that's what he's talking about. My daughter was devastated. I would have been too. Is there any chance that I can get fruit out of it? I've had a few blooms since the repair, but so far no fruit. Thanks for the great show. Oh, appreciate you, Rhett. Thank you. 2 weeks is too short to expect fruit, but if you're getting flowers, the chances are really good you're going to get fruit. Baby it just a little bit. Take good care of it. Make sure that, for instance, because it may have been disturbed, you know, radically, if it rains real hard, don't let that be overwhelming to it. But this is a native plant. If it's the purple blue flowered one, it is a native plant. So it should be able to recover with your help. And I do agree with you. The flowers are so beautiful. I might give it a little bit of fertilizer, but since you've already got blooms on it, I don't know that I would bother with that. That's nice. I hope that the gas project was successful. Sometimes you got to just dig stuff up, you know. It is true. They're so pretty. Beautiful, beautiful picture. I have a good story in my own world about May Pops. The advent, the beginning of time when we went from always having a clothesline to having clothes dryers happened in my childhood. And the clothesline was still right out the back door. In the utility space, okay? So you went out the car, I went out the garage, past the washing machine, there was the clothesline. But then they put the dryer in, and so the clothesline was not as used. Mama still used it for some things, but they didn't use it all the time like they had. That's where she let the passion flowers or the May Pops grow. It was the first time. I didn't know what an arbor was. I didn't know what a pergola was, but I sure did love sitting underneath those flowers. It was so pretty. You could hear the bees buzzing, and you could just their beauty is just spectacular. So it's a wonderful flower. If you have, for example, an old swing set, if you have an old clothesline, if you have a brand new trellis that you really want to dress up, this is a great plant for it. And they are beautiful. They're native and they are spectacular. Late summer bloomers. We don't have a lot of things that bloom in the summer that way that are as particularly beautiful as this one. So I think that's a great way to go. Well, we've always had these conversations lately about what happens to the plastic. You know, we know we're now finding plastic basically in the biosystems of most creatures on Earth, including humans in many cases, but certainly fish and other crustaceans and things that live in wet areas or in brackish areas. There's a new, now that we've learned about microbes that only multiply in earthquake zones as the fracturing is taking place, we're going to have to get another point of view, I think, about things, because we may indeed be having an opportunity to encourage the microbes that will eat the plastic. And I don't mean by dumping more of it, but I mean by making more of them available to it. Shinsu University is letting us know that this environmentally friendly plastic that they have developed lost over 80% of its mass in 13 months underwater in real time deep sea conditions. We've not had anything like that before. We've had things that persist for years in those circumstances, and we've had things that would decline and fall apart eventually. But now we've got some that they can actually predict. This is a new eco-friendly plastic called LAHB. Those are all letters. I have no idea what it stands for and probably couldn't pronounce it. But it really, after that 13 months, comparing it to the traditional PLA plastics, which remain completely intact. This is a huge thing. Colonies of deep sea microbes actively broke down the material using specialized enzymes. And of course, if we can ourselves replicate that, we can do a whole lot towards reducing the numbers of the amounts of plastic problem and pollution that we have in our world. The problem is, it's like anything else, okay? One tallow tree is not a problem, but a forest full of them chokes up the waterways and drops all that those popcorn, pretty little popcorn berries out there, and the next thing you know, you can't get down the stream or the bayou because it's been blocked up. We see that in South Mississippi. And unfortunately, a lot in Florida. So it's one of those pieces of the puzzle that you have to understand how we're going to break up things. And in this case, we need to take out the tallow trees and not plant anymore. But in the case of the plastics that are already deep into the environment, we need to have this other opportunity to encourage these microbes. So I'm very happy to hear about that. I think that's a big move in our in a very positive direction for us. My goodness, I don't know that I've ever been to Magnolia, Arkansas, but now I really want to go. Now they're sending pictures of the Scuppernongs. They're so pretty. Oh my goodness. It is a hot town, y'all. Stick around. We'll be right back. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer. In the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, if that's all night. Just like the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
If you're feeling anxious,
well, let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, cause I got them big rivers. Let it rise, let it fall, let the waves make the shore, cause I got them big river blues.
Welcome back. This is the Garden Mama Show, and I'm happy to tell you that we have a good question and a great guest all at the same time. Last week, we were talking about pruning roses for August. Greg's in Vaughan. He says these are about 5 feet high. Can I cut them in half? I might not go all the way to half, but I would certainly go down to where the thin stems are, the thicker stems are that have no leaves on them. And so that's going to be like at least a third of one of them and maybe a little bit more than that on the other one. Clear out any dead canes, of course, and I think you'll be on your way to a nice flush of flowers for this fall. Coming in right now, I'm really happy to tell you that I get to talk. When I get to talk to folks, it's always fun, but when I get to talk to somebody that I've known for decades that has a whole new adventure going, it's even more fun. Let me introduce y'all. If you don't remember and don't know who Mike Keith is, you need to know. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. As I say, I've known Mike and his amazing wife, Renee, for decades now. And if you came to remotes of mine in Summerall and in Purvis for years when they had their garden centers there, you know them, too. If you don't, well, you missed a really good thing. But on the other hand, you have the opportunity to do something else. And now, you know, Mike, you've taken Waterflow Productions and really built an award-winning landscape business. And now you're turning around and building the future of the profession at Pearl River Community College. Tell me about the new program and tell me what you're up to.
Well, I appreciate the question and appreciate you having me on this morning. And yes, after Waterflow, after having Waterflow for 20 years, when my kids had kids, kind of changed things and we wanted to do something different. So we sold out. I ended up down in Poplarville, Mississippi at Pearl River Community College, opportunity to supervise their grounds. And, after a few conversations and realizing they had no horticultural program, even though we was right there next to the Mississippi State Extension and Research
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm. USDA. So much going on there. Yeah.
speaking with administration, we started a landscape management program or a horticultural technology program, whichever terms you want to use.
Well, of course, in my world, anything that involves horticulture is best. So I'm really happy that y'all have done this. I looked at your curriculum, and, you know, if you jump into this, you're going to learn some stuff. It is a very comprehensive curriculum. And I really appreciate, Mike, that you're not, you know, you obviously you're going to teach plant materials, you're going to teach installation, you're going to teach design and maintenance and bugs, but you're also teaching these folks how to get into business. And that's actually what it takes. You know, the world of landscaping is no longer just some guy with a lawnmower in the back of his truck or some girl wandering around with a weed eater. That would have been me. So y'all have a lot going on.
It is such an opportunity, and my desire is with this program, whether it's freshmen right out of high school or a person that's been out of high school and college that's looking for something new and different, we call them a non-traditional student. Mm-hmm. They can come into this program, and, you know, I just love the nursery industry. I always have. And then the opportunity after having the business for 25-plus years, I love teaching business. And I want to take a person that's feels like they're creative and self-motivated and set them up for life. You know, the opportunity is out there. There is so many opportunities out there.
That is just so smart. And the kindness of somebody like you, by the way, they have the cutest grandchildren in the world, but that's just me. I'm happy to say I've watched them all get here. The piece of this puzzle that is often lacking, you know, I'm a bit older than you, and unfortunately I have seen too many things go by the wayside because there was nobody to teach the next generation. And you didn't wait. You're jumping in there. I know you've got some young students, but I've been looking at the pictures, and we will put those up on supertalk.tv as we are looking at your handsome face as well. But there are people of every age, people of every ethnic group, people of every kind of stature, as you say, you know, there's old folks, young folks, everything in this group, because let's face it, everybody wants their landscape to look better. And there are so many pieces of this puzzle. But if we don't teach that in a comprehensive way, the way you're doing, I don't think anybody can even know how to specialize because you wouldn't know what the choices were. I think it's just a great program.
The choices is one thing that I really try to give all my students. You know, whether it's just, you know, creativity design or just lawn maintenance, or if you want to, equipment maintenance, athletic fields is a big opportunity
huge,
for people.
Huge.
We teach a lot of that. And actually, my program and I, we still maintain athletic fields on campus. You know, we've got I tell my coaches if they want championship grass, I want championship players on my championship grass.
I like that. I like that. And y'all are doing that too. People may not know a lot about Pearl River Community College in Poplarville, but I have to tell you that one of your most famous former students, of course, is the late Jimmy Buffett. He was there in the 60s, and there's a couple of good stories that from folks that I know who were there about the same time, but we won't tell those on the radio.
That is right. Now, the college itself is just amazing. It really is. Our president, Dr. Brewerwood, just puts a lot into it, and he loves the students. But yes, the college is really top notch.
It really is.
Now, the campus itself.
Tell me a little bit about how long your program takes, and when do classes begin? How does somebody get involved?
If someone's listening right now and wants to get involved, they absolutely still can. We'll start classes on the 18th. This program has several exit points. You can come in and take literally the first semester or fall semester if you want to just get licensed by the state. It's the quickest way to get your landscape gardener's license from the state is our program. Yeah, but also we have the second semester in the spring, and then at the end of that you could get your career certificate, or the third semester, which goes into the summer. And that we just finished up this past summer, a lot of irrigation and low voltage lighting, additional landscape design, and ornamental and turf pest management. I've had a couple of my students wanted to get a 2-year degree, so we do offer an applied science 2-year degree with this program.
Well, and I see that in the curriculum because that's where you get into English composition and having another couple of electives to make that whole thing into a degree. I love that there's choices. Not everybody needs to go get a degree, but on the other hand, a lot of people want that degree in their pocket. So that's really correct.
That's correct. And interesting enough, my non-traditional students I brought in earlier after the fall semester, they all immediately said, well, there's so much more that we didn't realize that we didn't know, so they stayed in through the spring semester.
That is really a tribute to you as a teacher, Mike, because if you can keep students engaged and wanting to learn more, the star's in your crown. I mean, that's just wonderful. So happy that you're the one doing this.
We're in the classroom 2 days a week. We're outside 2 days a week, what we call our lab. And so it's definitely not all paperwork, and it's not all outside work.
Right.
And also, if someone wants to come and they're, financially they would need some assistance, the school has scholarship opportunities, but also Farm Bureau Federation has some scholarships for this program, and MNLA, the Mississippi Nursing and Landscape Association, has some scholarships for this program, as well as Soil and Water. Has some scholarships for this program.
There's so much interest in this field, and there's really so much faith in you as a teacher, Mike, because you've been doing this. I mean, when I tell y'all that he's won everything there is to win, I'm not kidding. So whether it's garden center, landscape, irrigation, all of it is in Mike's resume. And your willingness to share that with folks makes it clear to those other entities, well, we're going to get behind this. And that's where scholarships come from. So I congratulate you on that. I'm telling y'all, if you're looking for a thing, if you got something you want to explore, if you're just curious about the world of the future of horticulture and the future of landscaping, Pearl River Community College is the place you need to be paying attention to. Mike, how do they get in touch with y'all?
The quickest way, of course, everything now is online.
Thank goodness.
Just go to the PRCC website, and it will literally walk you through registration. And Miss Nellie, my cell phone number has been out there my whole life, and I give it out all the time, and my cell phone is 601-520-9815.
And I'll tell you he actually answers it.
I will sure assist someone if they're trying to get registered. And I just come back from San Antonio from the Texas show. We were there this week. And the new stuff, I always try to get out and see what's new and interesting, and that was a good show, real good show for Texas.
That's wonderful. Now tell me what you brought back that's exciting, because you always have something in your head when you come back from those things.
Oh, well, I was the autonomous mowers, or the robot mowers, that was a big thing there.
Yes.
Which is going to have some opportunities. And I see that there was a plant material wise, always looking at new plant material. And there was some new caladiums coming. There's actually some new encores coming, I've seen out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Those are all things. The encore azaleas have just been something that have changed our attitude about that plant,
Yes, I remember in years past I would have ladies say, well, I don't want an azalea, they only bloom one time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, at
surprise.
Least they bloom one time, that beats a holly. But
that's
now they
true.
Bloom three times.
Well, and of course, Buddy Lee started into that back in 100 years ago when we were in graduate school. And I have to tell you, not everything that people started trying to do worked. And that one really, really did work. So it's been a good one. But I tell you, the future of autonomous mowers, if that can solve problems like I know it can, there's going to be, don't y'all worry, it's not the AI taking over, because somebody's still going to have to program them and repair them and run them. And I know that'll be part of your program.
That's correct. Now, at Poplarville, with my program, we have put up two new greenhouses. this first class and I, we did that. One class I call my retail house. The other house is a growing house. Still got a few things I want to add into it with this next class, but we're just trying to. I want to give everyone as full of experience as I can in this program.
Absolutely. Well, you are the one to do it. Thank you so very, very much for taking time today. I know you're traveling and teaching and all sorts of stuff going on, not to mention grandfathering. So, Mike Keith, Pearl River Community College, if you're interested in the future of landscaping, you need to be in touch with Mike, and you also really, frankly, need to think about going to school a little bit because there's a lot to be learned. Thank you for being with me today. Take care. Say hey to Renee for me. Oh, my goodness. What fun. What a great, great time. You know, I'm a school lover. I've always enjoyed going to school, and I have to tell you that I think this would be something to really just go over and visit. I want to visit that propagation house because that man knows how to grow stuff. There's no question.
Looks like they have a good time down there. I went to the website.
I believe that they do. I do think that I think you have to love small colleges to be there, and I can tell you that this one is well-loved. It really is. Good question from Corinne today. I bought Anemone Corms way discounted on a whim 2 days ago. Well, I wonder how old they are. Anyway, should I put them in the refrigerator or plant them in the container, or was this a total waste of money? If they're not soft, if they're not papery, if they have some, you know, some serious bulk to them, they should be just fine. If you've got a dozen, I'd probably just plant one to see if it's going to come up. But I would just put them away for a little while, maybe in the refrigerator if you feel like it's too humid in your house. But as long as it's not too humid, you can certainly just put them into a drawer for a little while. I just saw an ad this week. People are already taking orders at the national level for ranunculus and anemones. And I will take a moment to tell you these are some of the best cut flowers that we can grow in the deep south. They're just something we hardly ever pay attention to because you do have to get the bulbs every year. Very few of them will repeat. But they're not expensive, and they're well worth more on the stem. So it's a good one to get started and get thinking about. Beautiful, beautiful plant. All right, my friends. We're going to talk about Thundercloud Flowering Plum right quick when we get back and take a couple more texts. Stick around.
Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us. From the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments. Your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation. 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000. Home remodeling or improvements, including roofing over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle guy.
Dancing through the morning today. A little bit of Lido Shuffle for you. My goodness, why not, huh? You know, I have This is a great question. Ray in Long Beach says, we have a thundercloud flowering plum. Okay. They planted some liriope around the base, and within a week or so, the plum started dropping leaves, and now it is bare. We pulled the liriope back. Have we stressed it? Will it come back? Okay, this is one of my very favorite situations because I enjoyed logic so much. A plus B, unfortunately, does not always equal C. So I don't know that the liriope has anything to do with the thundercloud dropping its leaves. Here's two things about purple leaf plum trees. They're beautiful and they're a little picky. So there are a couple of things that can happen to them that will make those leaves fall off that does not indicate that the plant is dead. This is when you want to do your scratch test. Go out and start at the ends of the branch. Scratch with your thumb, and if it's green underneath, you're fine. The tree's just gone into a bit of shock. It's also possible that it might have a root rot component to it, though. So if the area is staying wet, those trees are particularly susceptible to their, you know, because when their roots get too wet and stay that way, they stop working. And it's the opposite of what you would think in terms of plumbing, but what they actually get clogged up and can't pump any more water to the tree, and then the leaves throw off because the tree wants to survive. So give yourself those couple of suggestions and look at it if it's staying too wet, or if the leaves are damaged, if they have fungus disease or anything like that, that's different. But I'd be very surprised if planting the liriope in that surface area around the base of it would have caused this problem. I think it was probably something that was coming along and you just finally ended up having to see it. That's my thought. But do the scratch test. Make sure that it's still alive, and we'll know then. Connie from Franklin County, can we plant yellow squash for fall? Absolutely you can, if you're better than me at growing it. For straight or crooked works better. I've heard that straight neck works better. But I've certainly eaten crookneck squash grown in the fall that was fine, but I have heard that, and I've also heard that zucchini's easier. So I don't know. There are yellow zucchinis. They don't taste like squash. They taste like zucchini. And for those of you who are saying there's no difference, I promise you there actually is. They do taste different. Truly, truly they do. I have a couple of pieces of things I want to talk to you about over the next few weeks. One of them is how we take care of ourselves, and I think Mabel brought up a good piece of it in terms of the mosquitoes. We don't always take the best care of ourselves outside. We got to remember when those things are a problem. And we also, though, as we celebrate coming into this, the week of science, which I think for me, you know, it's every week, but I have a particular interest in something that has happened. Do you know what a jewel wasp is? They look like the wasps that we hate, but they're a little small, you know, the big red wasps, but they're a little smaller and they have blue at backs. They're just beautiful. They have a quality that I need, and you might need it too. They're able to slow down the rate of their aging. They go into kind of a stasis in the larval stage that extends their life at the other end. This is something we need to know more about.
I need to get me some of that.
We need to know more about this. It is tied to conserving of the biological pathways. In other words, things the seeds, the cells don't multiply as rapidly or as large. Therefore, they have a longer lifespan, and that gives the wasp a longer lifespan. I think this is great. I want to know more about it. So I'm hanging on to that one today. And on the wasp category, I have to tell you something that I don't want to tell you, but while we're talking about mosquitoes at dusk and dawn, red wasps are a big problem in the late summer in this part of the world. And unfortunately, I know someone whose husband, young people, just got stung in the garden and did not survive the anaphylactic shock that resulted. If you do not know about these things, find out about them, because you can't know when this is going to happen. This is one of those things that you know, the EpiPen, the fast time reactions, those things are the things that make a difference. And sometimes they don't even work, as in this case. But I'm telling you, it's not something to, you know, we got stung by a wasp, we would just go, oh, well, you know, and it'd be terrible. But don't mess with this. be sure that you know what you're doing. They're not all going to be jewel wasps. They're not going to extend your life. And in the case of this particular situation, it's not a tragedy that could be averted, but it is one that can be learned from. And I know that he would feel that way as well, that if somebody else can not have this happen to them because they heard about it 2 days, you know, and it went to the hospital immediately, and it just could not be overcome. I understand how you're thinking to yourself, oh no, how? Well, it just happens. They were just in their garden. They weren't, you know, anywhere surprising. It just happened. And I want to be sure that you're aware that just like you don't know when you've been, you know, you don't know what all the hazards are, and that was one of them. Now, the good news is that the family's strong, and they'll all be taken care of, as they'll never get over it. But on the other hand, they do have a life to go ahead with, and that's the most important thing, because we all face loss. It's just what we do about it. And in my case, I'm telling you, take steps. Understand what EpiPens are for, understand how they work, and understand what the hazards are to you personally. Me and the jewel wasps are hoping for a lot more research into their situation, because quite frankly, that's just a brilliant piece. By the way, that's University of Leicester if you needed to look up some more about that. We've also got some work from the French National Center for Scientific Research that I'm just crazy for. They're looking for that brain cell switch that reverses obesity's impact. They pretty much found it. So I think that's very cool too. I know what I'm going to be doing this week, and I hope you will be too. I'm going to be planting some more vegetables. I'm going to be sowing some more flowers. And quite frankly, I'm going to have to be paying more attention to what time of day it is. I've got some plants that seem to be growing so rapidly, I think they're just growing 24 hours. That doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to pay more attention to that. I want to let you know, too, that I'm well aware that this is approaching the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. If you want something to plant, go get a Peggy Martin rose. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll tell you now, and I'll tell you again next week. If you're a rose that can bloom in 20 feet of water after that major of a hurricane, you need to be in my garden and everybody else's garden. And that's where we've gotten Peggy Martin, the beautiful climbing rose that we're now able to enjoy. It was around, but we didn't know about it until just very recently. Really, 20 years is nothing in the lifetime of a rose. But being able to have that one and to know it as Peggy Martin for the woman who brought it to our attention, because it was blooming at her house down in lower part of Plaquemine Parish. We've seen that across the South now, and I'm happy to say that I see so many of them for sale right now. Don't overlook it, because it's a beautiful rose. Get yourself a trellis. Get yourself a Peggy Martin rose. And realize that you're planting a legacy. You're planting a plant that has a true story to go with it, and something that everybody really ought to have the opportunity to enjoy. They do tend to bloom a little sporadically. They bloom a couple of times, but oftentimes they have as large a flush in the fall as they did in the spring. So it's a beautiful rose, and one that helps us feel good about things. If you look for something else from that era, don't overlook what we call dooryard plant. You know, that's our friend the purple ruellia. If you plant it in a contained space, it'll keep you going. All right, my friends, that's it for today. But come back, please, next week. I'm looking forward to that, as always, here on the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Residential propane use is affordable, efficient, safe, clean, and a reliable energy source that you can count on. Let propane enhance your home today. Visit propane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's propane.com.
Sometimes an identity.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.